wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
Nice to have you in, Purple.
Hello, Jim, and we're all positive.
That's it.
I copped on the weekend.
That's it.
How did you take that?
There are 18 winners on the weekend, Bill. Even those nine
good.
Who lost.
Good. No, not 18.
No, 18 winners.
Oh, listen that's to Damien.
Well, we've actually, funnily enough, had an email request to revisit that a little later.
I'm sure
on,
you have.
Which we might just have to do.
Let us start with Jim. John from Berwick. You're a legend.
This one's gone to Bill, so we'll see how it does start.
Okay. But,
I got it. Now, for God's sake, talk about Geelong before old fat head spins off.
Well, you may as well lead the way with
this.
Which agenda do you want to run on this one?
Oh, no, look, they started like a bomb. 7 goals straight to 2 goals, I think it was, at quarter time. And unfortunately, West Coast just did not turn up. They were very, very ordinary
down there.
Second
week in a row.
And the Cats were outstanding. They should have won this game by 100 points, winning about 54 points or 58 points or something. They smashed them down there and bit of a worry. Oh, no, we're being positive, aren't we?
Be positive for a bit, Bill. We'll get to West Coast because they are listed on the other side of the ledger.
A man who's 35, who's been told to get out of the middle and be one of the great midfielders of all time go forward.
He's still sort of in the middle, though, isn't he? Well, he's bringing the ball from the middle of the ground to others in the forward
line.
When
he gets it, another Geelong player gets it. Like
another one with the name of Gary was getting it yesterday on the back of his kicks. Yeah.
About him, he just said to Tom Hawke at one stage, you get out there, you be the decoy, I'm the man of the moment.
Kick 3 goals. Did he actually say that to him?
Yes.
He actually said that to Tom.
Well, I saw both of them.
Two-time premiership player for the...
I saw both of them this morning, and Hawke said, yes, you're right. But Hawke doesn't mind. Like, Hawkins got 2 votes yesterday. I didn't think he probably was in the votes, but then you have a look at it. He gave 10 assists, and he sets it up himself. But it's just the kids, that Mark O'Connor, the Irishman, playing really good footy. Grian Myers has surprised me.
Really
he buzzes
start.
Around. Henry
and Dangerfield didn't do anything wrong, either, did he, Bill?
Well, no, but he would have been the 12th or 15th best, which is very. I tell you what was hard yesterday. It was about 6 blokes down at the Cremorne after the game. We had a team meeting.
Yeah, the committee, the match committee down
very
there.
Very hard to find 3-2-1 who was the best because they were all very good.
Back to Ablett though. This is what I think a lot of us expected to see last year and didn't, and then wondered what was genuinely ahead for Gary Ablett.
Yep.
But this year, whatever Chris Scott's done to, you know, get the tuning fork just right, he is in the sweetest spot. And if he can keep doing that, there's another 40 games ahead of him.
It might be too simple, but there seems to be a genuine buy-in, though, doesn't there?
Yeah.
From not maybe not just Gary, but maybe Chris Scott as well, to factor in the fact that he is, as you say, 35 and needs some assistance to do the role that he ultimately wants him to do.
Even Joel Selwood. Who's not in the best? You know, but he's there and he's doing everything possible and he's in and under and he's bought in too. So
we'll get to the West Coast. GWS?
Yeah, GWS, I thought were the next big winner out of the weekend. People might say they only beat the Swans, but they smashed the Swans up at what the Swans have made their own. That lockdown sort of stole a footy and they were just on a mission after the previous week's loss that they were very disappointed about. And the coverage of the exits, particularly with, you know, obviously Scheel and Scully coming out of that team, but the way Cornelio has stepped up again, now he didn't need to because he's already an A-grade superstar. Taranto, I thought, had an amazingly good second year of footy last year, but he's now in that bracket. Yep. You can't talk about the game's best midfielders now without putting him in.
No,
and it's not a conversation about, gee, when he gets good. No, he's already there, I reckon, in that bracket.
Kelly's still.
Woodfield's a star. Slight injury concern on Woodfield.
He was off.
Yep.
He was off on the weekend.
Yeah.
But what about Buddy? Pulled out. Davis pulls out. Buddy pulls out.
Who withdrew first, Bill?
Oh, Davis.
Yep.
I did find out that Buddy was flying on the... We saw him the week before and he was very good, was running and chasing. During the week, best training session ever, more than 10, 15 minutes, was flying. But flying around, bang, did a hammy.
So he's done it. It's not just a little niggle. That's a 4-week job.
And he was flying on the track.
Collingwood?
Yeah, go back to... It seems a long time ago now,
doesn't it?
It's part of this football festival we've had, but... Look, Essendon was equally positive in that loser's sense. And just to go back to Essendon, who they've now got on the weekend coming up, Jim, it's a massive game for them against Geelong on this round 7. And I'm looking forward to that game as much as I've looked forward to a game this year, given what Essendon did show against Collingwood on Anzac Day and given that Geelong's form is just startling, isn't it, Bill?
Well, Essendon won 3 quarters in that game. They won three quarters. They obviously started slow.
What I liked about them was that they grounded out, didn't they? They got themselves out of trouble in rounds 3, 4, and 5. And I say out of trouble because they were 0-2 and people were asking bad, nasty questions, which were valid at that point. But they did it in a way that was probably goes against the way they'd like to play the footy. And that's because Collingwood forced them to. But they hung in there and got it to within a kick. So I think that they were almost equally positives out of the weekend.
That was a fantastic game of footy. Great day. All right, do we get a little? Oh no, got one more. We can get in Adelaide, of course. Nice to see them back winning in Adelaide, and I know you're a big fan of Alex Keith, as am I.
Yeah, the 18th game that he's played at the age of 27. Yeah.
Well, he's not that old. Is he?
He's 27.
Is he?
Yeah,
and 18 games only.
18 games only. Played 6 in 2017, 6 last year, and then he's played all 6 this year. And the way that team is now structured, he is their key defender. They had Dude go down, and he's covered for that role in a way that has exceeded expectations already. He's just going to get better. And while he's an old man in a footy sense, he's a young man in his football career. And he is, believe it or not, being talked about as one of the now premier backmen of the competition if he continues this progress.
He's a beauty, mate.
Intercept.
But he's not a surprise because he was taken as one of the quarantine 17-year-olds by the Gold Coast way back when. Yep. So everyone knew how good a kid he was. I think Gary had him in his group. Remember when Gaz
was it that intake? Was it?
I reckon it was. Yeah. And he said, "Mate, this kid's going to be
really
a beauty."
So back then,
I reckon he was one of them. So anyway, he's been a very well credentialed footballer. But he then was absent for 4 years.
Yeah, and you're starting from scratch, aren't you? When you're playing Sandful as it was reserves in 2016 as a 24-year-old. Yeah. So you're a long way back then. There's obviously been six batches of draft kids come through. You haven't had the football in your system, and to now, again, emerge in the early parts of 2019 as a 27-year-old. I really loving how this story's
and
unfolding.
And he's a great kid too. Well, he's not great. He's a very, very good man.
You got him across to play for the Stars, didn't you, one year?
He played for the Stars, but he was obviously contracted to Cricket Victoria. But we tried to get him at North Renegade, for years because North Melbourne people all knew how good a footballer he was going
to
be.
So were you talking to him then to play football, not cricket?
No, I was put in what they call an invidious position.
Invidious.
Right. Because all my heart was saying, come and play footy, but obviously I said, mate, you've got to finish your dream as a cricketer first.
Yeah.
And he did and played a couple of games, but he's in exactly where he should be now, which is playing great footy. I love him.
Just in that game, Tex. Oh, very good.
Well, there we are. And have some of that, the tools that had to go at Tex.
Jeez, he's a beautiful kick.
Nah, especially left side.
Oh, left.
No, wonderful. Loved it. All right. More positives to come.
All positive.
Positive.
We're still positive.
Well, we got one more positive section, and then there might be some negativity late. I was in, and privileged to be in Perth, Damo, Saturday night to watch the 300th game of one of, I think, the modern greats of the game in David Mundy. I've always loved him, and Jizzy played beautifully in his 300th game too, and loved that. But I also got to watch, we were just talking about it off air, what I think might be the best back six in the game. Fremantle defend better than any club in the comp.
Yep.
The stats show they have the number one defence in footy. Mm. And Ryan and Hughes and Hamling and Pierce, the group they've got back there, Wilson, are exceptional.
Pierce is the one, Jim, isn't he? I think who's crept up on the general footy community and is doing so well. But I wouldn't have, until you've raised it, thought of them as the best six in the game. I'm going to take that away and analyse that a bit
deeper. They are the number one ranked defence in football. Now, that doesn't just rely on your back six, obviously. You defend with the whole ground these days. But I watched them close, and they are unbelievably good. They work brilliantly together, but the intercept marking of Hamling and Pierce and Ryan, very, very good. And then Wilson and Hughes distributing it out, they were good. Again, Nate Fife had 30 of it. I don't think he was great again. At his absolute best of a couple of weeks earlier, but he'll still get 3 votes out of that game, I
would think so. Walters didn't have his best game either, but how well is he playing this season? I mean, he's now put together a very, very good football career, but a good last year
but
as well.
But, Damo, if Mundy plays for Hawthorne, those 300 games, he would be universally lauded as one of the superstars of our game, but he's a quiet, unassuming bloke, and he plays for a club that's out of mind, out of sight a bit.
Pretty much how it works, isn't it?
Doesn't get the respect he deserves, I don't think.
One of best and fairest, has been all Australian. He hasn't regularly polled up the top of the best and fairest counts of the Dockers, but I've always loved the way he's carried himself, both within a game of footy and away from it too, because you just know the power that he's got within that group. It's still at its high point at the age of 34, nearly 35.
And before we leave that game, I don't think, Bill, in modern times, not since Philip Matera retired,
yes,
have I seen a small man sniff out a goal more than
his nephew. Yeah.
He can get four to the ball, Bill, and get a Joe the Goose.
We had him on the Sunday footy show, and he said he was just going through the motions, didn't he? And Uncle Phil Matera rang him and said, mate, you've got to have a crack this year. Do a bit extra. So he started doing a bit extra, and he's had kicked nine goals in two games.
Yep. No, very good.
A couple of Joe the Gooses.
Just goals. He just got goal side,
Bill. Take them, Jim.
I reckon you would know better than anyone else in this conversation, the little blokes especially, when they can get goal side, let's find an extra gear. They think they've only got four in the gearbox, and suddenly they find seven, eight, nine.
With a little bang! Turbocharger.
Anyway, well done to them, and second on the ladder, very good. Richmond?
Yeah, again, it's a long time ago now, isn't it? But just to sign off on the very first game of round six, as it was, they did well, didn't they, Bill, to basically snuff all hope Melbourne had on the season itself with a dominating win against the Demons. And got a few issues now with Jack Riewoldt out for some time.
Interesting exchange between he and a prominent journalist.
Yes, yes, it was. We'll leave that one alone. Let that journalist fight it out for himself because he's doing it very well. Just like what they did, though. And the guy we spoke about on the
Tom Brown,
the
midweek, man.
Tom Brown.
Our man.
What happened there?
Well, he got it right, but then was accused of guessing.
Yeah.
You did show it on the Sunday footy show.
I didn't show it. Who ran it?
You were right.
Oh, Kane did, didn't he?
No, Kane.
He sensed the reason.
He's also becoming positive.
Yeah, well.
No, I don't think he is. He doubled down yesterday, Jeff.
Come on, Kane.
Some of us might have taken a message out of it.
You know what he did after the Sunday footy show yesterday?
What?
Went and ran 30 Ks.
Oh, he's ridiculous.
30 Ks.
He's a freak.
Jim, I drove 80 and I'll stop.
Yeah, a little Sydney Stack. We love our
We did, don't we?
What a great
story.
Yeah,
we do. Yeah, no, we do.
Loston.
Yeah, he's...
Hasn't he stood up?
Yeah, he's been good for a long time, I think, without us actually realising it. Yeah, with the boys down, as Grimes has as well. And also, too, they only got over Carlton yesterday, but I thought Hawthorne, they rolled the dice when they had to and got their season back to a 3-3 scoreline, which just gives them hope. They've got a tough run coming up, but... But, I mean, well done to get themselves out of a 36-point deficit at one stage.
And Port Adelaide, we've also got to recognise as having a very nice patch of footy going.
Yeah, they were good against North. They let North kick the last five goals of the game, didn't they? But the damage had been done to that point. And again, we discussed it during the coverage, but Travis Boak's form has been extraordinary.
Well, Damo, look
at this.
Good
that he can get a pre-season in.
I'm just going through the best on grounds over the weekend, right? Scott Pendlebury, how old? 30?
Yep. Plus, yep.
Travis Boak was best for Port.
Same.
30. Lockie Neal's 29. He was best. Oh, well, even Mitch Robinson. Sorry. Mitch Robinson's 29. Taylor Walker, he's 29, David Mundy, he was best on
33.
Ground.
33.
Well, one of. Yep.
And Gary Ablett. 36.
There you go.
The old blokes are going all right.
They're back, Bill.
They are. I like
People wanted to pension them off only 2 years ago. Too old.
Mind you, we do need to just get to late July, August with the same old blokes. Because they can often start like a German band and then suddenly she just tails off a touch in the back end. But
so
they go,
far,
well,
so
Bill.
Good, yes.
Well, that's just a segue into where we might just be headed next.
Oh, right.
Because I can only keep my man positive for so long.
He's had a bit of the glass and now it's only half empty.
It's a rush hour.
Negative next. Now, Purple, we do have to, in all seriousness, focus on the teams that weren't as good in this round of footy. And you could not have placed a bet that anyone would have given you odds on for, what are we, six games in?
Yep.
For North Melbourne, Melbourne and Sydney to be in the bottom positions on the ladder.
It's that trifecta, isn't it, that's as surprising to those clubs as much as I think to we on the outside who attempt to do a ladder before the year starts. But those three clubs didn't expect to be anywhere near the positions they're now in. And of the three... I can actually really only see some hope for the one that's actually the least of the three in the ladder, 18th spot, Melbourne. Bill, I still feel they could push up a little bit. I think they've shot to bits from a finals perspective, but I do expect them to finally and eventually get things right. But I don't like what I see with North and Sydney, Jim. Have you got a view? I mean, you've been pretty strong on what's happening at the Roos the last couple of weeks.
I actually didn't mind a bit of what they did the other night. I thought they'd look like they were starting to get a bit more right. Yeah. But I still want to see a lot more tackle pressure, especially forward of the ball. You know, they've just got to find a way to... I mean, everyone talks about this handballing out of the back half not being the way to go in 2019, and they are still trying to do it. Essendon do it as well.
Yep.
Maybe they've got to adjust that and kick it a bit more from half back. But
their skills aren't good enough at the moment, are they, when they do kick?
That might be the reason. But more worrying for me is that it just when it gets in, it doesn't stay in. It just comes firing back out of there. So they've got to find a way to get territory and hold it. But I thought a lot of what happened Friday night looked better. I didn't see Sydney play, but I did see Melbourne. And as we said on the Rub Purple, I've never seen a team set up in a more weird fashion to attempt to win a game of footy. Clarence Oliver might be the best stoppage player, almost the best stoppage player in the comp. He was the deepest forward to start the game. What are they trying to teach him a lesson?
And Brayshaw being moved outside of the square onto the wing.
Onto the wing, and there's another very good stoppage player.
The other move before the game was that of McDonald away from the forward line to the back line. I fully concurred with that move, but the other two were strange.
Well, I just think if you go and ask Damien Hardwick on when was that game, Wednesday night, if you asked him Tuesday night, before you go to bed tonight, what would you most like to see tomorrow?
When they bounce the ball.
Yeah, when they bounce the ball. What would you most like to see? I reckon
I'd like to see the competitive
Oliver.
Animal.
Love to see Oliver forward. Yeah, love to see Brayshaw spat out onto a wing. Love to see McDonald in the back half, because then we've got no one to worry about forward of the ball. I'd love to have Goody here and ask him, because it was the weirdest setup of a team I've seen.
And then the other thing you would have wanted to have happened was have your fourth gamer in Sydney Stark knockout within the rules. Jack Viney, who's a bit sore and will miss some footy as a result.
Interesting game, isn't it, this week? Carlton v North Melbourne on Sunday.
Very.
That is worth seeing.
It is, Bill, because the winner of the game is not going to get too excited either, are they? Given that Carlton has now lost five games already again and has just come off another weekend where they probably should have won a game of footy against Hawthorn and North. If they do win and go to 2-5 after seven, well, that's nowhere near where they thought they'd be. So when the loss is the fear going into the game, as this one is, and when there's the win for either team is not going to be cause for much celebration, it's a dangerous game
for those teams. But you've got to deal in process, Purple, for me. If I'm either of those clubs, I'm going, right, what's the stuff we got to get right? And if we get it right, the win will look after itself. Yeah. That's how I would view that game. You just got to get what you do right. And that's got to be the focus for
both
Carlton
North doing
and
Carlton. A lot right.
They must have been pretty good in the first half of that game.
I watched that game and I came out of it not that critical of them losing. Now, I know that sounds strange because, like most people, when you look at it, Bill, 34 losses now out of their past 38.
Yeah. I mean, and a 31-point lead.
And a 30, I think it was even higher, Jim. It was 31. Yeah, let's go with 31. Yep. But I didn't think they did a lot wrong. And I do also factor in that Simpson was on the bench for the last quarter and a bit. Nick Newman was out of action for a long time. And Caruso, who'd been so good, just had run himself into the ground. He couldn't get back out there. So he might have had some niggles as well. But he was off for a 5 or 6, 7, 8 minute chunk where Hawthorn kicked those goals.
You are cutting them enormous slack, Purple. If that was any of the other team in the bottom four who coughed up a 30-point lead to lose, you would be savage.
Yeah,
so there's a reason. I don't know what it is. You're staying positive in the negative.
Yeah, in the negative.
This is unheard of.
No.
The West Coast Eagles.
That wasn't the reason, Jim.
Tell us about them.
Yeah, well, I'm actually staying positive on them too, because you go back to round one and Brisbane, well, they kicked 6 goals in the first quarter of that game, but then Brisbane got them, didn't they, by about 6 goals by the end. They then won 3 in a row, got to round 5, and Port Adelaide got them at home by 7 goals, Bill.
Yeah,
and then
easy.
And then they went to Geelong on Sunday, twilight, ugly fixture. Yeah, I think they won a bit.
Got bashed
so
up.
Yeah. The three losses they've had, they've been by, you know, by multiple goals, nasty goals when you accumulate them. But they've got a stretch of games coming up now, Gold Coast, St Kilda and Melbourne. I reckon they're going to be 6-3.
Okay.
So I reckon they're okay.
All right. Good. Yep. And we got some injury concerns?
We touched on Riewoldt before. Look, they're saying 6-8. I just hope that's what it is, because there was some fear that it was going to be more, but that's what they're saying. So I hope it is that. And Loney, obviously, Jack Loney, who plays for St Kilda.
A
really good season. Yeah. And finished last year really well, started this year really well. But yeah, look, it was a good result because it was an ACL. Sorry, it was the... it wasn't the major one anyway. It was
hyperextension.
Yeah, hyperextension. It's going to be multiple weeks, but it's not the season.
Well, Lee's sister who works here, she just said she? 4 or 5 weeks.
Okay, yeah. Good. Well, that's a good result given what they were fearful of that night.
All right, are we sending buses anywhere?
We have to.
All right.
So with that one down at Princess Park, even though we like what we've seen the past fortnight as a collective, but we're going to send one up the Hume to the Swans. We'll have that other little 8-seater we've got, Bill, or 12-seater we've got, just alternating between Arden Street and the Olympic Precinct there for Melbourne.
We'll just 8-seater.
You got little 12-seater.
Three buses,
yeah. Well, the one at Carlton's, but someone's taken the wheels off that. That's just stuck there. We can't move that. It's been there for 3 years. The one up the highway.
Coats Hire, very nice to see you, Purple. Nice, comprehensive, positive wrap. All right.
That was Damo's recovery session. For Coats Hire, call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.